Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's the final hour of power here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham taking you up to 10 o'clock. We'll go out live to Radio Row in Las Vegas. Excuse me, not in Las Vegas, in New Orleans, where we find our guy Nate Tice on the scene out at the Super Bowl. Eagles officially being introduced. It is night one of Super Bowl week in the NFL. Nate Tice will join us from there. We'll ask Nate a similar question that we're asking you, man. MGM at National Harbor Lister Lines wide open. Myles Garrett, all-pro defensive end, requested out of Cleveland earlier today. And if I am the Washington Commanders, I am all over this move. This is the type of move you make when you're in Washington's position. You only get so many years with Jaden Daniels on an affordable contract. At the trajectory that he's playing at, he may be, by the time Jaden's contract is up, he may be making $75 million per year. Because the quarterback numbers just do nothing but skyrocket. The NFL is going to get more cap space with their new TV deal as they're about to add an 18th game. You got to strike while the iron's hot and surround this guy with marquee talent. All of your moves now, see, this year, man, it changes my perspective of what they are and where they should be or where they should be trying to go. Every move that you make right now is about beating Philadelphia. Every move that you make right now should be geared towards beating Philadelphia. And they showed you at the trade deadline what their mentality was. They know where they're at. Adam Peters ain't no dummy. They understand that they are right on the doorstep. They are the power player right now outside of Philly in the NFC. They had a major need at corner. What did they do? They addressed it. They had a major need at defensive end. I expect them to address it. And not with some bargain bin free agent signing like Dante Fowler Jr. And I'm not trying to crap on Dante Fowler. I know it's coming off that way. His 10.5 sacks were the quietest 10.5 sacks I've ever seen watching football. He is not an every down player. Washington needs an every down player at the defensive end spot. And Myles Garrett is all that and more. A game record. Generational, whatever adjective you want to use to describe him, he is him. Point blank. I can make the argument, you can't name me two or three better defensive ends in the entirety of the 2000s that's better than Myles Garrett. So yes, I'm willing to go out and give up multiple first round picks in order to acquire him. Our producer, Vic Ferrer behind the glass, found this for me, and I think it's perfect for this conversation. In terms of a comp, 27-year-old Khalil Mack, if you remember, was traded from Oakland to Chicago. The Bears gave up 2 first-round picks, a 3rd-round pick, a 6th-round pick. Or excuse me, they gave up 2 firsts, a 3rd, and a 6th. And they got back a 2nd-round pick for Khalil Mack as well. So, if I'm Washington, is this framework, because this is a similar deal, they're similar players, is this framework too much? Is this too much for you to give up for a guy like Myles Garrett? I don't think it is, man. Especially when you consider where Washington is right now as an organization. This is not your traditional year one of a rebuild. They completely outkicked their coverage, and it's for real. Because I remember when the Giants made the playoffs in year one under Brian Daboll, and they started making stupid moves. This ain't that. They are really a contender. So you go do whatever you can to fill the void that you have within your roster. Edge rusher is your biggest need. You need an impact player up front. If I'm Washington, man, I think long and hard about going out and making this move. I think you have to. You owe it to this fan base. You owe it to yourself. You got to be aggressive. All bets are off when it comes to trying to acquire Myles Garrett. Jaden Daniels would be my only untouchable. Terry probably untouchable for me, too, because you can't strip the boy of his weapon. Bobby is in Orange County. What's going on, Bobby?
Hey, man. Love the show.
Appreciate you.
First time, because some of your callers are kind of driving me crazy here. I don't know about Brady's number ones because of his age, but, man, you got to get him. He's if you go with baseball, you're one game from the World Series, you go and get an ace, man.
Yep.
And Garrett's your ace. You got JD 5, and then you got Garrett. You want to get over that hump. And he's going to make your whole team better. He's going to make everybody, like Bobby Wagner this year, made that defense better.
Yes.
Not just because of his play,
yep.
Because he's Bobby Wagner.
100%.
I think Garrett do the same thing. And all of a sudden, Sandersill, he's going to be an all-pro.
Yep.
You touched on it a minute ago, and all of a sudden, them D-backs are going to be good because quarterback ain't going to have time.
Especially Marshawn Lattimore, man. I feel like a lot of the fan base is giving up on Marshawn Lattimore based on the way he played at the end of the season. He didn't get no pass rush. That's one thing I'll to his credit. He didn't play with a pass rush here in D.C., so I don't know, man.
Yep, no pass rush. He came in hurt. He'll be all right. He'll be fine.
He'll be fine. People want to get rid of him for whatever reason, but I agree with you, Bobby. I think he would be fine. I appreciate you chiming into the show, my man. Enjoy the rest of your week. 1-800-636-1067. Yeah, man. Myles, to me, I just get excited about the different ways they could use him. Because the one thing I gave a ton of credit to Dallas for is how they moved around Micah Parsons. And Dan Quinn was tasked with getting the most out of Micah Parsons. That is what his job was. They moved him all around the line of scrimmage, over the center, over the guard, at end, at middle linebacker, and he has success. The thing with Myles, too, man, is what Bobby kind of just brought up, and I think the last caller before Bobby brought it up as well. He makes everyone better. To a man, he makes everyone better. There's no argument with it. Everybody's better with him on the roster. I understand maybe 3 first-round picks is a lot. But I just gave you the framework of the deal that Chicago and Vegas pulled off to get Khalil Mack to the Bears. It is similar. It is similar. You got to give up assets to acquire a guy of these dudes' talent. And if you're just joining us, I'll re-rack it again. 27-year-old Khalil Mack was traded from Oakland to Chicago. The Bears gave up 2 firsts, a 3rd, and a 6th. And the one thing I would say too, right? I'm not sure where Chicago was at the time because their first-round pick was probably a lot more valuable than ours was. This is the 29th pick that you're about to offer up. So, I don't know. My main premise is this. You got to do whatever you can to continue to be aggressive to add talent to this roster. and we didn't get into it, but the T. Higgins thing. Like, you have to make tough decisions this offseason. Not everyone's going to agree with it, but it's about going out and doing what you can to surpass Philadelphia. Keep the main thing the main thing. That's how I look at it. Do whatever you can to try and surpass the Eagles. 1-800-636-1067. When we come back, more of your calls on how much is too much to give up for Myles Garrett. And then I'll tell you another pass rusher that Washington should be picking up the phone to. Four. That's next.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Jam-packed Monday night edition of Overtime with the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. We'll be joined by Nate Tice from Radio Row out in New Orleans for the Super Bowl. But before we get to that, want to get you all up to speed and hip. So a really cool thing that Odyssey is doing. Are you ready to win big and live it up in Sin City? It's the Slam Dunk in Vegas on 106.7 The Fan. Listen for your chance to win a flyaway trip to Las Vegas with three friends and $20,000 in spending money for the first two rounds of the college basketball tournament. You'll get to stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas's premier sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March Hoops party at Stadium Swim. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to 106.7 The Fan for the chance to win an experience of a lifetime. Listen each day for an hour, 1 hour, to earn your daily entry. This is a national contest. For more information, visit odyssey.com/slam dunk. Now, when this contest first came to light, I said, well, damn, can employees win this? I would love $20,000 and the opportunity to go to Las Vegas and enjoy some college hoops, man. Speaking of college hoops, Kansas, Iowa State on tap right now on ESPN. Big night in the college hoops landscape. We mentioned it at the top of the show. The Terps ranked 18th. Their first national ranking of the year in the AP Top 25 poll. So kudos to them. Speaking of being ranked, I would say that when the Commanders are as good as they were this year, ranking-wise, they are the biggest draw in the DMV. It's why it's so important for me that this group goes out this offseason and is aggressive in trying to acquire talent. You have what I consider the best asset in professional sports. That is having a top five rookie quarterback on a rookie contract that allows you to be aggressive in going out and acquiring talent to put around this kid. That, to me, is what is most important right now for the Commanders. All-pro defensive end Myles Garrett requested a trade out of Cleveland earlier today. Obviously, it takes two to tango, right? Myles Garrett, in the conversation we're having surrounding Myles Garrett, is a moot point if Andrew Berry in the Browns front office say, I don't really want to move on from him. And Myles Garrett is such a professional that he doesn't strike me as the type of guy that would hold out to have his trade demands met. So obviously, Cleveland's got to be willing to part ways with Myles Garrett. But this is the interesting thing to me. If you're Washington, how much is too much to give up? Because I continue to say multiple first-round picks ain't too much. You got John Allen, a former Pro Bowl defensive tackle that you could offer up. I will put Frankie Louvu on the market if that's what it took. Now, obviously, if you add Louvu to a deal, I'm not giving you three ones and Louvu, right? That's too much. I'm not crazy. I just want Myles Garrett. The framework for the Khalil Mack deal that we referred to in the last segment, if you're just joining us, is interesting to me because this is what you have to go off of. Mack at the time, similarly to Garrett, Garrett's 29, Mack was 27. But in the prime of their career and considered one of the premier pass rushers, Garrett is a different level than Khalil Mack, though. So. Back then, this was in, 2018 when that deal was made, I believe. Mack was traded from Oakland to Chicago. The Bears gave up two first-round picks, a third-round pick, and a sixth-round pick. So two ones, a third, and a sixth to get Khalil Mack. Now, I would say this. Garrett's better than Khalil Mack. He just is. I gave you all the numbers. Only one man in the National Football League with more sacks since Garrett entered the league back in 2017, and that is T.J. Watt. So, clearly, right, he is a cat that you gotta have. And I'm willing to part ways with pretty much anybody on the roster outside of Daniels and McLaurin to acquire a guy of his ilk. Generational talent gets thrown around a lot in the NFL. Myles Garrett is quite literally that. Let's go to Nate in Upper Marlboro. Appreciate you waiting for us, Nate. What's going on, brother?
Linnell, what's up, my man? Youngest big dog in charge. What it do?
Appreciate you, man. How you doing?
Ain't nothing much chilling, man. Hey, man, I think you, I agree with you, man, all the way. You know what I mean? And I don't really think it's any price that's too high. I mean, people saying three first rounds is too high. I don't think so because we had, three, four first rounders on the line, and Myles Garrett was better than all of them. And still is. Right. So, I mean, I would have gave up Chase, Payne, and Allen for Garrett. That's three first-round picks, ain't it? I mean, of course, you don't know what they was going to be, but you don't know what your picks are going to be in the future. You know what I mean? But you know what Myles Garrett is.
Right.
And there's nothing in the draft that's coming out anywhere, anything close to him. You know what I mean? So I agree with you all. Everything you said, man, I definitely – you have to go after it. You have no choice to me, honestly. Like you said, you got to build your team to beat Philly. And what we have on offense, you know what I mean, and knowing what we do, I'm comfortable on offense. But defense, a defensive line, man, that's what we need.
So here's what I was saying. I wouldn't describe myself as comfortable on offense. I think they got to improve the offensive line. But right. To your point, the bigger, more pressing need is addressing the defense. And here's what I say about Jaden, right? He's that damn good at the position that he makes everybody better. So I'm not inclined to go out and pay T. Higgins like the rest of folks are because I don't think you need a stud number two. I think you need somebody that can create separation. We just didn't have that.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Appreciate your call as always, Nate. 1-800-636-1067. Kevin is in Virginia. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
If I gave Dan Quinn truth serum and he said, that's the one piece we need to get over the top, I'd say go get him. But I like Adam Peters' approach of building through the draft, and I think if you give up a lot of picks, that ruins that plan. I'd love to win a Super Bowl in the next 2 or 3 years, but I want to compete for a Super Bowl in the next 10 years. I don't want to go back to mediocrity after, you know, once Myles Garrett is beyond his prime. And I just think, you know, we have some success. We can build on it. You see the shiny toy on the shelf, and you're like, whoa, I really want that. But I don't know. I mean, look at Lattimore. Maybe he could come back next year and be great.
I'm about to say, Kevin, you can't say
two draft picks for him.
I get what you're saying.
That we're going to miss in April.
I feel that. No, you're good, brother. I didn't mean to cut you off. I hear you. The Lattimore thing, I don't really put in the same category because you acquired damaged goods. You knew he was hurt. You had to adjust to his system. Give him a full offseason. This is another former Pro Bowler. Like, Marshawn could play. I don't judge him totally for what happened down the stretch because he's in a new system, learning new terminology, and they didn't have a pass rush. So that's my thing. Kevin, I appreciate you as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067. Bird is in D.C. What's going on, Bird?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you feeling?
Hey, I love the fact that you take calls from everybody. And you take calls from fans that don't know anything about football, but they're just fans. Just like myself, maybe. I understand that. I appreciate it. Here's what I am. I'm a firearms instructor, right? Mm-hmm. And what we teach is that when you're shooting rounds, we want you to shoot quality over quantity. I'd rather have 2 shots hit center mass than have 5 shots that might hit you.
Okay.
So when you're talking about getting extra draft picks, if these draft picks are not hitting center mass, I'm wasting my time. We know what we're going to get with Garrett. There's nobody you can get in the draft at that position that's going to be as good as Garrett. That's the question that you're asking yourself. In the next 2 years, do you think there's a first-round draft pick when you're going to be picking above 15 based on how we've been balling that's going to be a better pass rusher than what Garrett gets you?
That answers your
entire question right there.
Exactly. It's hard for me to think
so
that.
So you get these people that start talking about, well, I want to compete for 10 years. I understand that, bro. We're talking about right now.
Right now.
Right now.
That's Bird, that's all that matters is right now. You got a quarterback, man.
Yo, B, we outkicked our coverage, bro. Right now, we were one game away from going to Super Bowl. So check this out. What you're saying is, I don't want to get that close next year, but 8 years from now, we can try it again. That's ridiculous. It makes no sense. Everybody in your secondary gets better when you have a pass rush.
For sure.
The people that we don't like in the secondary look real good when they only got to cover for 2 seconds.
Exactly. You speaking my language, Birdman. I appreciate your call as always. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll go live out to New Orleans. Nate Tice of Yahoo Sports joins us next. Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. You're tapped into the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. I will take you up to 10 o'clock here tonight. Right now, we go to the Rude Guest Hotline where we take a trip down to New Orleans at Radio Row at the Super Bowl. It's where we find our pal Nate Tice, Yahoo Sports NFL analyst, former University of Wisconsin quarterback, and a former NFL assistant coach and scout as well. He's also the host of Football 301 on Yahoo Sports, which is actually recording from the Toyota Land Cruiser set on Radio Row this week. Nate, happy Super Bowl week, my friend. I appreciate you giving us some time.
No, thank you for having me so much. And thanks for the introduction.
Man.
I feel like Khaleesi, Game of Thrones.
I'm about to say, man.
Dragons. Oh, my God. I really appreciate that. No, happy to be here.
Big time introduction for a big time guest. As I was saying before we brought you on, man, huge fan of your work. I don't know where we should start,
I
guess we will start locally here in D.C. Now that we are, I guess, a week or 8 days removed from Washington's loss in the NFC Championship, your overarching thoughts on where things currently sit in D.C., and before we get into the draft and free agency, how should they be viewed amongst the power players in the National Football League heading into this offseason?
Well, first and foremost, you focus on your division and then your conference and everything, and I just feel like the NFC is in such a transitory period right now. you know, as far as coaching changes, players, quarterbacks, all the type of things. And I think the Commanders, you know, you have one of the biggest answers that you want as a team. You have a quarterback. And I think, you know, even if it's where his ceiling is, where his floor is, at the very least, this is a good starting quarterback, which is like, all right, we got that.
Right.
And next with the Commanders is this year was kind of a, hey, let's get some culture set with Dan Quinn. Let's get some players that maybe not, quote-unquote, know the system, like a lot of coaches like to say, but know kind of what Dan Quinn wants, which is play fast, play hard, practice hard, have fun, you know, guys like Bobby Wagner and others. But a lot of those guys were one-year rentals, especially on the defensive side, and they have a lot of cap space. So I think it's really interesting, at least for the Commanders and from a national perspective, is who they decide is the most important of those one-year rentals.
Yeah.
Who they decide to give longer contracts or shorter contracts or just let, you know, go on to better things. But I really do think that the Commanders sit really well, ton of cap space, have picks. They at least hit on several draft picks, including their quarterback. So I think just where they're at in the NFC is, yeah, they have questions, especially on defense, but they are sitting at least as one of the teams that can, again, contend to make the Final Four next year.
Yeah, it feels good. It's music to my ears, man, as a 27-year-old fan of this thing to know.
You have a quarterback.
You know, we got a quarterback,
I mean, that's really where it starts. Yeah. That's where it starts. And I wish there was more exotic answers from that. There are, you know, make sure the run game is there. But Washington did a good job with the run game last year. And not only just using Jayden Daniels, and that's not even what I think is the complete vision of that offense.
Right.
So
yeah.
The fact that they have tangible results while still instituting kind of like their culture and their frame and like everything they want, that's pretty cool. And yeah, they have some things that they'll have to fix, especially on defense, but man, this is a good starting point.
It is going to be a fun off season. I've been saying it, you know, since the season ended last weekend, that this to me is the most pivotal off season of this rebuild, because to me, it's about striking while the iron is hot, maximizing what I consider to be, Nate, the most valuable resource in professional football, having a rookie quarterback on that rookie contract. And then when he's playing at the level of Jayden Daniels, it becomes that much more valuable. If the trade deadline, Nate, is any indication of how aggressive Washington is going to be this offseason, what kind of can you expect? Because when you look at some of the needs, they're at premier spots. Edge rushers don't just grow on trees. Elite number two wide receivers don't just grow on trees. How do you anticipate Adam Peters and company going about this to try and shore up some of their big-time holes?
Yeah, it's funny, the Commanders' defense, like where their strength is, it's defensive tackle. And it's not like they just have one guy. They have three guys that are, like, very good.
Yeah.
I'm including Johnny Newton with that. And I think that the edge players that they have are definitely the rentals. And what's great about this draft class, that even if they stay put in like the 20s, they can find a good player at that spot because it's a deep edge and defensive line class. But there's also what's kind of nice and part of this conversation, and maybe I can practice this bit because I feel like I'm going to talk about it today a bunch. Myles Garrett just put himself on the market.
Well, I'm about to say, yeah.
And what did I just say? Commanders have cap space.
Yeah.
They have a way. They have more means to do this than others do, as far as other teams do. Is it the juiciest draft picks? But I mean, sometimes that doesn't matter. It's more just, oh, it's a first, as opposed to where it is in the draft. But man, that's one that makes sense to me. Myles Garrett is still in his prime, smack dab in it. That contract is workable, especially with the Commanders have space. So if they want to I think they're more one of the teams that can go for that than others would think.
Yeah.
But really, I focus on the back seven for this, the Commanders defense especially. Mike Sanders still was great, especially bumping out to the outside, which is something I pleasantly surprised he was able to do.
Yeah.
I really liked him in the draft, but I really thought his future would be as a slot player. And the fact that he was able to be above average rookie, or not even just a rookie, but above average starter on the outside is great. I think, you know, they traded for Lattimore, who was up and down with injuries. So more guys on the back end, those safety spots, the linebacker spots, long-term solutions there. That's kind of where my eyes go when I'm looking at the Commanders.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Here locally, Nate, the conversation is how do they shore up this run defense? When you look at the numbers, they were a top five pass defense. Now, how realistic that is and how actual, you know, that is a whole other conversation. I think I'll say this about football, and you, someone that played college football, understands the way folks think from the high school level, the college level, and the pro level. If you go ask any defensive coordinator across the country at any level what their number one goal is on defense, they'd probably say first and foremost it's stopping the run. Washington, to me, went with a little bit of a different philosophy this year, Nate. They were really keen on not giving up the explosive plays in the pass game, and they actually did a really good job of not doing that. Addressing the front seven is huge because you want to fix the run defense. You mentioned the defensive tackle spot. John Allen set to count $22 million against the cap next year. No more guaranteed money on his deal. Do you see Washington being inclined to move on from one of these two defensive tackles?
They have to. I feel like they can get one more year with that, even if there's a workable contract.
Yeah.
They're not pushing to a corner yet, you know, where they have to make that. And shoot, like we kind of even started this conversation with, the NFC is so wide open. It's not really one that – it's more like, hey, let's just accumulate as many good players as we can get and make a run. Because they – and no, that's a good point, because they have a good problem. They have three guys. Two of them are paid. One is now a second-round pick. That's a lot invested in one spot. But I think they can make it work, especially how Dan Quinn runs his front, too, like where, you know, guys are across the defensive line. So I really – it's for me, that's a great point about the run game stuff, because that's where, you know, obviously we saw it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That was their Achilles heel the entire season, was the run defense. And that's part of Dan Quinn's philosophy a little bit, is how aggressive he plays his guys.
Yeah.
You know, hey, get up field, go, run as fast as you can. So you can kind of get caught, misdirection and all that. That's where I kind of – where I meant that back end stuff is really the spine of the defense, is what I always like to call. So defensive tackles, and then that includes linebackers and safeties. I thought sometimes is that, you know, Bobby Wagner was really nice going forward this year, had a solid year, got the accolades and everything. You know, maybe getting someone young there can maybe run and go side to side a little bit better than Bobby. But that's a hard trade-off with Bobby Wagner. The intangible stuff is great,
right?
But he still is kind of a, I'd say, okay at best run defender.
So it's crazy. Let me
against the Eagles.
So it's interesting you brought that up, because it has been one of the more polarizing conversations here in the DMV. When you look at the numbers, right, second team all pro, another year with 100 plus tackles, the PFF run grade is, and take PFF for what you want, was third best in the NFL. But the eye test, Nate, is what gets me with Bobby Wagner. I think he's a guy that at this age is best going downhill. I think this defense was hurt by his inability to play sideline to sideline. So upgrading there is something that I've mentioned, Nate, but I get chewed up by the fan base every time I do it.
I lean more towards you, because I feel like Bobby's been kind of the last couple of years, he's kind of been like this. Even in Seattle, kind of kneecapped the defense against the run. And I agree with you, the sideline to sideline stuff. I noticed a couple of times, you know, not a couple of times, probably every game, where he gets reached in a run game where someone, the offensive lineman, is able to get to him on the second level. So, like you said, Dan Quinn does a great job of letting him attack downhill and blitzing him. Using him like in that way, him and Lubu actually. But I think that's kind of the thing. It's like, oh man, we're doing a lot, you know, to like make sure he can stay on the field. Is it worth it? Is the juice worth the squeeze? To me, right, not really.
But, played 98% of the snaps last year.
God, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I know. And you know, he gets the accolades. He's got great name recognition.
For sure.
And I love him as a guy too. That's why it's so tough to start talking about. Yeah, Father Time, it's undefeated.
Yeah, catches up with everyone except for LeBron James, Nate. I'm a big LeBron James guy. So there you go. Joined right now by our guy Nate Tice of Yahoo Sports. Make sure you tune in to Football 301 with Nate Tice, Matt Harmon, and Charles McDonald on Yahoo Sports. I want to look at the big game here for a second while we got you, Nate. Second time in 3 years we're seeing these two teams match up. I, all season long, you know, felt as if Philadelphia, 1 through 53, had the most talented roster in the National Football League. How do you think Steve Spagnuolo and company are trying to gear up to stop this, you know, exotic Philadelphia rushing attack?
It's, you got to put them in bad down distances, because if they stay ahead of the chains on you and Hurts doesn't have to drop back time after time, they'll crush you. It's really my mat. It looks at Steve Spagnuolo versus the Eagles offensive line and Jalen Hurts, I should say, too, because Jalen Hurts historically has not been great against the blitz. And this year he's been much better. But the thing is, the types of blitz that the Chiefs run, Steve Spagnuolo runs, are still a huge thorn on their side. He has the highest blitz or sack rate against zone blitzes. Chiefs run more zone blitzes than anybody. So it's kind of, and that's not going to really twist Steve Spagnuolo's arm to do something different. So that's really, it's kind of leaning into their fastball where he can just keep throwing these, you know, funky looks at them. Hopefully you cripple them. You'll get caught with some big plays. That's just how it works. That's the trade-off.
Yeah.
But I think that's the way you kind of limit this offense, and you just hold up against the run. Limit big runs, Saquon Barkley. Make them be patient. The Chiefs are, you can be efficient against them in the run, but they don't give up explosive runs. So it's really like the Eagles have to just play sound ball. And really, when I say sound ball, the quarterback has to play yes. sound ball and be efficient. Can he do that? I don't know. Historically, I've not really seen Jalen Hurts do that consistently. He's had 2 weeks to prep for it, so we'll see. But that's where just my eyeballs go, because I just think that's just such an interesting matchup.
Yeah, and you go back to the last time these two teams matched up in the big dance. I think there were two critical Jalen Hurts turnovers that kind of shifted the dynamic of the football game. He was great outside of those right. plays, but down in, down out consistency, something you need to see from him. Looking at the coaching carousel spinning right now in the National Football League, big news we got over the weekend, Chip Kelly getting some big-time money to go to Vegas to be the OC with the Raiders. How do you view that situation as they enter the offseason? Pete Carroll, obviously up there in age, not a coach that you bring in, right, Nate, to try and rebuild for 3 to 5 years. They're going to try to add talent and be aggressive in adding talent. John Spytek, the new GM there, going to be busy this offseason. What do you make of the Chip Kelly decision and then your outlook on the Raiders as they try and compete in one of the most loaded divisions in the NFL?
I knew Chip Kelly had a lot of interest as an OC. I knew at the very least he had interviews with the Jaguars and the Texans. Did a whole freaking podcast segment thinking he would go to one of those two teams, and then he goes to the Raiders.
Yeah.
Just shows you how the NFL works.
Right.
But this is that kind of leads actually to kind of like what stood out to me the most, that this is kind of a new Raiders, not just the Tom Brady thing, mm-hmm. but the fact that they sold 15% of their ownership share to investment firms. Yeah. And that means they have cash flow. And then they just paid Chip Kelly $6 million a year. That is, I could tell you, just on the back of my hand, that's probably quadruple what they've paid an OC before in their entire franchise history.
Yeah.
So I think that's what stands out to me, is that this is not just because of Brady, but he is a little part of that, but because of now Pete Carroll, who's a professional. He has so much respect in the NFL. They're trying to make it so it's not just the same old Raiders, same old, I don't want to say backwater, but same old just afterthought of the NFL and what they've kind of become outside of their fan base, which is such a great fan base, is that now they have some cash flow and money to make these kind of splash moves, which I think is super interesting. I thought Chip Kelly was going to Houston. If I were to bet it, I would have put it at 1-5.
Wow.
You know, like if I were weighing odds. And the fact that he's going to Vegas is really interesting as far as where the kind of Raiders sit, like I think in the hierarchy. I think that's just a interesting kind of canary in the coal mine for them.
For sure. I'll let you go on this, my friend, as we, you know, slowly but surely inch our way toward the NFL draft. We have the Senior Bowl this weekend. That's kind of box check number one when it comes to draft season. At the top of this thing, the Tennessee Titans, what do you anticipate them doing? There were some interesting comments from Mary Kay Cabot up in Cleveland about the way the Browns think about Shedeur Sanders. And then there's the comparison that we heard from the head coach of the Titans comparing Burrow to Shedeur. Does a quarterback go 1-1 overall in this draft, or do you think we have some drama at the top?
I think a quarterback goes 1-1, but it might not be the Titans.
Ah.
This might just be fan fiction in my brain, but they said the generational label. And to me, that only applies to, and I hate that phrase anyways, but it really only applies to Travis Hunter,
right,
who is a corner, and who will be an interesting receiver as well as kind of package play receiver in my eyes. Mm-hmm. Do you take a corner 1-1? Not wouldn't
risky.
Be my favorite move with a really juicy kind of asset.
Yeah.
I say I want them to kind of go down the Sam Darnold route and then trade back and draft somebody. I think their team is more – has better pieces than people realize. They got a couple interesting linemen. They got Calvin Ridley, interesting tight ends. Their defense is actually good
with
a lot of vets on it. And so that's what, like, it fell apart at the end once they realized their season was washed.
Yeah.
But I think it, you know, they got a lot more than people realize. So to me, it's trade back, find Darnold, and go from there. But I do think Cam Ward will end up being the guy or QB1.
Yeah.
That's so hard to predict because Kelly just went to the Raiders.
Right.
Yeah. But to me, it's Cam Ward pretty easily. Not just that's who I have as the number one guy, but I think a majority of people do. We're all idiots anyway, so who knows? but I think he will end up being QB1, if not 1-1 in this draft. I don't think it is through the Titans, though.
You are confirming my football acumen, my friend. I was the one lone idiot in the media that thought this was the year for the Jags. I thought Coach Callahan would get Levis going. They seem like, dare I say it, I feel like they're a team that is a legitimate quarterback away from maybe jumping to the top of that division, which is all of a sudden in flux. So it's going to be interesting to see how Tennessee maneuvers this offseason. Nate, I appreciate you as always, my friend. It's been a blast. Enjoy Radio Row. Enjoy the Super Bowl, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
Our pal Nate Tice, Yahoo Sports NFL analyst, former University of Wisconsin quarterback, and a former NFL assistant coach and scout as well. He's also the host of Football 301 on Yahoo Sports. That's going to do it here for this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham passing things over. You can keep the conversation going with me on social media. It is at @NELL_BTP. Back with you Wednesday. Same place, same time, right here on The Fan.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.